Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. His wide dominion shall extend from sea to utmost sea, and unto earth's remotest bounds his peaceful rule shall be. And what follows, Psalter 194, the stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 45. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 45. To the chief musician upon Shozenin, for the sons of Korah, Mashal, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty write prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thy ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, as shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee in thy merciful providence that we may come up to thy house of prayer once more. And may it please thee by thy Spirit to make it a house of prayer indeed. And not only a house of prayer, the mercies have been multiplied in this day. Thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death. While we are all living under the sentence of death, because thou wast said to our first parents, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then we may still have a place upon the earth, and it is written in thy word, in him we move, we live, and have our being. Then thou grantest yet many precious things unto us and our children, temporal blessings which so many upon the face of the earth must miss. And what maketh us and our children to differ, Lord? Then it is also thy work to grant a broken and a humble heart. And when we may receive an impression, the recipients of those blessings, and they are sinners. May sinners have come up to thy house with the prayer of the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Then thou wast granted in the realm of nature that the sun may break through. May that also take place in thy house, that the Son of Righteousness, that he may shine upon us and our children, and that thy word, that it may enter our understanding and our hearts. Lord, may cold hearts, may they become warm. May stony hearts, may they be replaced by hearts of flesh. When the sun shineth in the realm of nature, then it granteth light, warmth, and life. And so it is also with the Son of Righteousness, Lord. May it please thee to bless thy holy word for the extension of thy kingdom. Would it not be to thy honor and glory when many of our little boys and girls, when they may be exercised with those divine realities, would thy name not be glorified? When our youth would be given by thy grace, by thy Spirit, to set their face in words, to make that good choice of a roof. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God, Lord. Would thy name not greatly be glorified when the middle-aged, in the busyness of life, when they may be given to see and to testify that the true happiness is not to be found here below, to be given to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and where thou wast promised that all other things shall be added unto it, O Lord. Would thy name not be glorified? Would it not grant much courage when many of her elder ones would be plucked out as brands out of the fire. Ah, thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Wilt thou grant more of that wrestling at thy throne of grace? But, O Lord, remember thy children. They learn more and more that they are so dependent upon thee, all-forsaking souls. Then thou wast promised in thy holy word, unto you that fear his name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and they shall grow forth as the calves of the stall. Then in this evening hour, then we are called to speak about precious things, the threefold office of thy dear Son. Thou hast a people upon the earth where they become necessary. They become more necessary and more precious. Lord, wilt thou then be a surprising God? Wilt thou bless consistory and congregation? Bless the labors in the midst of the church. Bless thy word in the midst of the family circles. Wilt thou grant faithfulness unto fathers and mothers to be given to instruct their dear children in the aforesaid doctrine while it may yet and while it can yet. Impress upon all our hearts that stewardship is only for a time, and we shall be called to give an account. Then how necessary to seek thy face continually for thy help, and that the simple instruction may be blessed. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, for much of the earth. The Sabbath day has already run its course. We commend unto thee the established churches. Oh, do remember and uphold persecuted churches in so many places, in so many countries. Remember those in prison and their loved ones with many fears and with many uncertainties. But may they be given to experience that thou art the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Wilt thou remember the beloved for the Father's sake? Remember all mission work, also our mission field. We commend unto thee thy servants, the team. May thy word be richly blessed. And wilt thou graciously supply all the needs for our mission field, Lord. Remember the nations of the earth in these serious and solemn times. Remember also our nation, under all thy judgments, where we continue to depart from thee. But may we as a church also be given to examine ourselves whether under thy solemn callings, whether truly there has been a turning unto thee, a forsaking of our sins, a repentance, even more so, whether thou hast wrought that godly sorrow by thy Spirit, that worketh a repentance, and not to be repented of, Lord. Wilt thou remember all our blessings, a young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony, toward the end of this week. May they be given to humbly beg of thee, that thy special presence may be experienced on their special day. Lord, may they be given to ask of thee that indeed, that this may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Wilt thou help in all the preparations? Then we commend unto thee a brother elder with his wife, who at the end of this week hope to remember and commemorate that thou wast spared them for 40 years in the bond of holy matrimony. Then thou wast brought them through with all their blessings and with all their trials. Ah, wilt thou grant a good day, a humble heart under all thy goodness in the past year. Then thou wast taken three of their parents out of the land of the living. Oh, it tells us that we have no continuing city. Lord, remember all our family circles. May thy word have authority. May love abound. And when it is different, that there may be a repentance. What has been separated, bring it together according to thy holy word. Then by renewal we lay before thee all our mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones, all those that are under the physician's care. May all the callings be used that sin sick souls under the sentence of death, that they may be brought under the care of that heavenly physician whose name has been called Jesus, because he saves his people from their sins. Lord, remember the crosses, remember the burdens, when there are the struggles with temptations and addictions. Ah, may they be given to cry unto thee, and that the means may be used. Lord, remember the needs in the realm of nature. Remember man and beast in the heat of the summer weather. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? May it please thee to grant refreshing showers upon the thirsty earth. Lord, may in this evening hour, may there have come up thirsty souls with a sigh and a cry unto thee, the living God, that they may even receive a crumb, because thou hast an unworthy, a sinful people. They have sinned it all away, but they are given to rejoice with joy unspeakable, when they may even receive a little crumb, when they may be given to see that it comes from the King. Be then a wonder-doing God, Lord. Wilt thou graciously grant thy help? Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee. Ah, grant Aaron's and hers, and may thy holy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance in this evening? Ah, grant then a good hour together. Wilt thou bless us with heavenly blessings? Ah, Lord, it is all sinned away, all forfeited, all undeserved. But may we be given to plead upon the multitude of thy tender mercies, only possible through the work of thy dear Son, always sits at thy right hand as that prophet, that only priest, and that eternal King. May he be given to wield the scepter in this evening hour. We have heard out of thy holy word that the arrows, they are sharp in the heart of the King's enemies. May sinners be slain on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 45, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. And now the King in thy strength shall be joyful. O Lord, thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, their request of a suppliant's voice, and what follows, Psalter 45, the first four stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 12, the question and answer number 31. Why is he called Christ that is anointed? Answer, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continually intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. Lord's Day number 12, number 31 speaks of Christ, the official name of the mediator. Four thoughts. First, the anointing. Secondly, the prophetical office. Thirdly, the priestly office. And fourthly, the kingly office. Christ, the official name of the mediator. The anointing, the prophetical office, the priestly office, and the kingly office. Beloved congregation, then we have heard on the past Sabbath day, boys and girls, maybe you can remember a few of those points, that the mediator must be known in his names, natures, offices, states, and benefits. Then the past Sabbath day, out of Lord's Day number 11, we have heard of that precious name of Jesus, which means Savior, which means to deliver a people from the greatest evil and to bring them to the supreme good. Then Jesus, that is the personal name of the mediator, that was given by the Father, instructed the angel Gabriel. That name was given to Mary and to Joseph. And now in this evening, then we are called upon to consider the official name of the mediator. And to make that clear for the younger ones, when we think of Aaron the priest Aaron, then Aaron was his personal name, which he had received from his father and mother, and that name priest, that was what he would do in daily life. Your father has an occupation, in the church we call it an office, and that is an office which he has received from the Lord. When we mention King David, then King, that is the official name, and David, that is the personal name. Thus that means that in this evening hour, oh, we have heard of that precious name of Jesus, that for a guilty people is his ointment poured forth, and therefore the virgins love him. But now that name Christ, that declares how Jesus saves his people. And then it was necessary that he would have a threefold office. The name Christ, that is a Greek name. In Hebrew, it is Messiah. We read in John 1, verse 41, when Andrew has found Simon his brother, that is a good and precious work, when we may be used to bring other souls to Jesus Christ. And then an Andrew was given to say, we have found the Christ, which being interpreted is the Messiah. And now that name Christ, that means anointed. And Christ was anointed to a threefold office typified in the Old Testament. It is true, officially, oh, by the grace of God, then the children of God, the Lord willing, in the next question, it is declared that they are partaker of that anointing. But in the Old Testament, then we do not find one who officially had three offices. There were those that had two offices. Think of Melchizedek in Genesis 14. He was the priest of the Most High God, and he was king of Salem. Think of David. He was king. He was also prophet, as we read in the Psalms. Jeremiah, he was priest and prophet, but we do not read one in the Old Testament who officially had three offices. And now concerning that anointing in the Old Testament, what were priests, what were kings and prophets anointed with, boys and girls? Think of David in 1 Samuel 16, when a Samuel has come to Bethlehem to anoint another king over Israel. And then seven sons have come before him, and the Lord has not pointed one out. Are there more sons? Oh, David, he was with the sheep column, and then he came. And then the Lord has spoken to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is he. And then he has taken a horn of oil and poured it upon his head. He was anointed to become the next king over the children of Israel. But now who is sufficient unto these things? David was not so old. And to then receive such a solemn task, to become ruler over the people of the Lord. And therefore two things are necessary concerning that anointing. And that is also concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In the first place, that appointment, that means to be set apart, called to a certain office. And in the second place, to be qualified, that means to receive the gifts to perform that office. And now concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, we have read out of Psalm 45. When we read that Psalm, there are different thoughts. Some commentaries say that perhaps in a very faint way that it may refer to Solomon, his marriage. But Solomon was a man of peace. And in this Psalm we read of those arrows that are very sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. We have seen it in this morning hour when the king has shot an arrow into the heart of Saul, that he was given to fall, that he was given to bow. And now concerning this solemn, there are others perhaps with David, but when we read this solemn, then it is clear that it points to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 1, the verses 8 and 9, And then this solemn is recited, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read, "Oh, in this solemn that he is fair than the children of men." But then we have also heard in verse 7 and 8, "God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above all thy fellows." Oh, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those that are bound." Christ has read those words in Luke 4 when he has come to the synagogue of Nazareth. And now in the Old Testament, they priests, kings, and prophets, they were anointed with oil in the Bible, the Old Testament, a type of the Holy Spirit in Zechariah 4, with those two olive trees, with those branches and those golden pipes to the candlestick, and therefore the candlestick may burn brightly. In Matthew 25, do we not read of 10 virgins? Ah, they both had vessels, but the foolish virgins, the oil was gone. And now concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning that appointment that was by God the Father, and that was from the never-ending eternity. And thirdly, concerning his divine and human nature, because they read in Proverbs 8, verse 23, "I was set up," that means to be anointed, "from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was." And now we have said it, appointment. That was from eternity. But now Christ, he also needed to be qualified for that weighty task, because what a weighty task was laid upon him, that he was to come upon this earth, satisfy justice, and also gather a church unto himself. And now concerning that qualification that only concerns his human nature, because his divine nature, that is infinite perfection, that needs no qualification. Thus, only concerning the human nature. And when has that now taken place? Ah, do we not read in Luke 1 verse 35 that the angel Gabriel has said unto Mary that the Holy Ghost shall come upon her, the power of the highest shall overshadow her. Therefore that holy thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Oh, then do we not read in Luke 2 that he increased in stature and in wisdom? Oh, he was anointed in a fuller measure with his baptism. Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17. When the Spirit has descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the Father has spoken, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, he was anointed with wisdom, because the multitude has said in Matthew 7, verse 25, that he spoke with authority and not as the scribes. He was anointed with holiness. He could testify in John 8, verse 46, "Who convinceth me of sin?" He was anointed with power, which has become manifest with the performing of miracles. And now this anointing, he was anointed in a full measure, in perfection, to a threefold office. Our second thought, the prophetical office. And now, the Lord has a people upon the earth. by the work of the Holy Spirit, that these three offices, that they become so necessary and so precious. And what else? The longer that people may be on the way, the more necessary and the more precious they become. And now concerning those three offices, prophet, priest, and king, then the priestly office, that is the foundation of the other two. We have heard it in this morning, that Christ, in his prophetical office, that in beginning, that he has enlightened Saul. Then we have heard in his kingly office, by his divine power, that he has felled Saul on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace. But that could never be if Christ had not given himself as a sacrifice for sin, because the Lord can never have communion with a sinner outside of his dear Son. And now in the Old Testament, that prophetical office was prophesied of, Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto him thou shalt hearken. Thus a prophet that would resemble Moses. In the Old Testament, then we read of that prophetical office under many different descriptions. Let us mention Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Counselor. There you have that prophetical office. O Job, in Job 33, an interpreter, one among a thousand. In the New Testament, then Nicodemus has said that he was a teacher sent from God. And in John 8, verse 12, the light of the world, a few expressions in the scripture that refer to his prophetical office. And now what does a prophet do? A prophet in the Old Testament, boys and girls, what did prophets do? Then they instructed the people, told them the will of God. They admonished, also proclaimed the promises for the church. They also foretold the future. And now we read, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet. Concerning the priesthood, says the only prophet. But concerning the prophetical office, to be our chief prophet. Because the Lord instructs by word and spirit, and he sends out his servants in Ephesians 4 concerning the gifts of the ascended Christ, then there is spoken of apostles, teachers, evangelists. Thus, the Lord uses means. He uses fathers and mothers to instruct their dear children. They have promised the same with the baptism of their children. But Christ is the chief prophet, and those other prophets, those other teachers, they must all be taught from him. Oh, that chief prophet. And now it is necessary, congregation, that we are enrolled of the school of this prophet, this teacher. Oh, that we learn, Luke 10, a Mary. Ah, she delighted with a holy joy to sit at the feet of the Master and to hear of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, the chief prophet. And what does he now teach his people? Then we read, who was fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Oh, in the scriptures it is declared, it begins in that never begun eternity, the counsel of peace. The chief prophet, he teaches his people. And Isaiah 56 verse 7, all thy children shall be taught of God. And who is now our teacher and prophet? Of course, boys and girls, fathers and mothers, teachers. But who is now our prophet? Is it the ways of the world, the devil? And we live in a fearful time with all the worldly thoughts. Can even be that we do not even realize it, that those worldly thoughts of the world or of a false religion, that they are penetrating into our mind, that they influence our thinking and our walk without even us realizing it. What is then necessary? That we search the scripture. Because the chief prophet, he is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is given his precious word. And therefore it is so indispensable that we and our children prayerfully and honestly search the word of God. Because when is that, if that is not so, then sooner or later, then there shall be a falling away of the truth. Thus, how is it with that searching? There are churches, South Dakota, once I visited a Hutterite colony. We needed some cabinets for the church. And the young man showed me around his colony. We spoke about the church, about the school. And then I said to that young man, oh, I spoke about the work of the Holy Spirit. And then it seemed that he did not understand me. But then I said to that young man, as a colony, whatever you do, you have a minister, you listen to him, but when you as family circles do not diligently search the word of God, then sooner or later there shall be a great departing from the Bible. And that is not only necessary for those colonies, that is so necessary for us and our children, that we prayerfully search the word of God. What is the Lord now saying? That we are as that people in Berea, that they have searched the word of God, whether those things were so. Our second thought, the priestly office. When the Lord works, then he conquers a sinner as king. As we have heard out of Psalm 45, then they are slain, then they become a willing people in the day of his power. And then they come under his prophetical office. And what does the great prophet now teach them? We have heard something of it in this morning. Then the prophet teaches who God is and who we are. Then the prophet uncovers us to our sinnership and our lost condition. Then the prophet, he uncovers deeper and deeper. The one quicker, the other slower. Then the prophet teaches us that our works need to be perfect to be accepted by divine justice. The prophet in the further leadings, he teaches us, he points to our original sin. Then those under that prophetical office, they learn that they are a great sinner when it is right. Do less sin and become a greater sinner in the sight of a good doing and a holy God. Are there a few such sinners in my midst? A few such sinners. Given to repent and search the Bible. What saith the Lord? So necessary can even be when the Lord converts us, that we follow tradition and that we do things not examining whether it is according to the scriptures, but it is what saith the Lord. But now for those poor sinners that learn that they have a heavenly high debt and they have not a penny to pay. Oh, as that woman with the issue of blood went to many physicians, her purse became empty. Ah, then it is the work of that great prophet to make room in those hearts for the priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ has been promised and prophesied of in Psalm 110 verse 4. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. We read thereof in Hebrews 7. Thus the Bible speaks of two priestly orders. Of Aaron, then the priesthood was transferred. When Aaron died, then his official clothing was removed, because office bearers, they shall not die with an office. They must give an account. Thus the official clothing of Aaron was removed and put on his son Eleazar. Thus, and that priesthood had passed on from father to son. But now Melchizedek, Genesis 14, he was a singular priest. It is written, no beginning, no ending, no father and no mother. That means, boys and girls, that Melchizedek was the only priest in that family circle. His father had not been priest. His son would not be priest. He was an only priest. Thus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, our instructors, they have so clearly said, and to be our only high priest. With the prophet it was chief, but with the high priest, the only high priest. A perfect sacrifice. And what a great work that high priest has performed. Oh, if he was not divine, then he would have succumbed. But that divine nature that has upheld his human nature, that he has bore the wrath of God against sin. And now what have priests in the Old Testament done? Then in the first place, they were called to sacrifice. An animal without blemish had to be inspected by the priest. Hands were laid upon that animal. The blood was gathered, sprinkled on the altar, and the animal was burnt. Thus Christ, he first had to bring a sacrifice to appease the justice of God. Oh, as that great high priest, then he has offered his human nature upon the altar of his divinity. It was a perfect sacrifice. When that sacrifice was brought, then the veil of the temple was rent. Then the Lord declaring that the Father was well satisfied, that the ceremonial law, that they have come to an end. Then secondly, then the instructors, they speak and make continual intercession with the Father for us. That word us, we find many times in this answer. Who is that us congregation? Does that become your question? Who is that now us? Oh, then I think our boys and girls know who that us refers to. That refers to God's people. But are there now souls in my midst where that has become the question? That you have received a little hope. Oh, under that prophetical office. Because he teaches so tenderly. And that prophet has so much patience. And oh, that prophet for discouraged students, when they are nigh to despair, are ready to throw everything overboard. Then that prophet comes to lift them up, and he speaks comfortably to their souls. Those fear nots, about 65 in the Bible, to those troubled students. But now those students, they do not only need comforting words and encouragement, but those students need a sacrifice. They need a high priest that may bring a perfect satisfaction for sin. And those students, they need the application. But now, secondly, the high priest, beautiful typified in the Old Testament. Then that high priest, he had a breastplate upon his heart. And boys and girls, what was written on that breastplate? The 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Thus, what a thought for that people when that high priest was performing his duties. And on the great day of atonement, when he went into the most holy place with that blood to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, that he was carrying upon his heart the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And further, there were ouches upon his shoulders and upon a stone on each shoulder. On each stone were written the 6 tribes of the children of Israel. Thus, what a beautiful type and example of the great high priest. O Christ, at the right hand of the Father, the chosen church, because he prayeth for his church and not for the world. And what else? Then I even read in that high priestly prayer of Christ in John 17, verse 20, that he does not only pray for those that have been converted, but also, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That is the church that shall and must be gathered. The Lord has promised to work from generation to generation. And now concerning that prayer of Christ, not only an interceding, but he comes before his Father with his perfect and finished sacrifice with his blood, a demanding upon what the Father has promised, the church, that he shall receive upon that finished work. The instructors do not mention it, but the high priest in the Old Testament, he has also blessed his people. And Christ, when he ascended into heaven, then he has blessed them as he ascended into heaven. The only high priest who has brought a perfect sacrifice, and now congregation, has now a need been born in our hearts and our soul for that only high priest. Then we have to come under that prophetical office. By nature we are dead in sins and trespasses. I read in Ezekiel 37 of that valley of those dry bones. They were dead, lifeless. But now when the prophet began to preach, they began to shake, and they were clothed with flesh. Thus, do we now need, we have said that Christ declares how Jesus saves his people from their sins. And now what do we need to learn? Oh, and that is such a difficult lesson and hard lesson for this proud flesh that want to do something to earn something for our salvation, but now to learn the only high priest. Then we need to learn that we are sinners, a heavenly high debt, and with all our striving, with our tears, with our repentance, that we are a sinner still, that it becomes hopeless from our side. We are given to bow under a just God, ascribe justice unto him, impossible from our side. And then the wonder that there is an only high priest. Oh, what precious invitations are there now, poor sinners in my midst. Ah, that may believe that you have received the place at the feet of that chief prophet, that you have learned much. Ah, that you learn how ignorant you are, because that people, they have much to unlearn, much to relearn, much to learn. They are so ignorant in heavenly ways. Ah, the Lord has a people that needs that prophet concerning the way of providence and the way of grace. But now it is the work of the prophet, and that is by word and by spirit, that he teaches his people that they are lost, that they cannot save themselves. But oh, then I read in Isaiah 1 verse 18, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as snow. But what else does that people need? Not only a prophet, they need him as priest, but they also need him as king. Let us first sing. A Psalter 367, a stanza 5. I will cause the might of David ever more and more to grow. On the path of my anointed, I will make a lamp to glow. And what follows? 367, the fifth stanza. Thank you. Christ, the official name of the mediator. The anointing, the prophetical office, the priestly office, and now fourthly, the kingly office. Prophesied already in the mother promise in Genesis 3 verse 15. We read thereof in Psalm 2 verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that need his prophetical office, the priestly office, but also that kingly office. They desire him to be their king. There are many upon the world that speak of his priestly office, but they do not desire him as king. There are many that think they need a sacrifice, but they desire not a service. But for the true people of God, then they desire him to be their king. And the need for that kingship, to preserve, to defend, to keep, and to provide. And therefore the instructors have added, and also to be our eternal king. He is king forever. In Revelations 19 verse 16, then I read that there was written upon the vesture of the mediator, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This kingship has been spoken of in many places in the Old Testament, also typified by King David, and especially by King Solomon. Where King Solomon, he was wise. He was just, which became evident with the sentences which he has pronounced. Oh, he was rich. He had many inhabitants, and his land was extended. But it was only a faint type, because the kings upon the earth, it was only in part, and they were not eternal kings. But now Christ, he is king forever and ever. And now the manifold duties of the king, the instructors have said, and who defends? Oh, who governs us by his word and by his spirit. Thus that is the first point. But now concerning that governing, then first we may mention that he gathers his church by his almighty power, by word and by spirit. We have heard it in this morning of a soul, that by irresistible grace, that a soul was conquered, that he was gathered, that he was taken from underneath the banner of the prince of darkness, the devil, and that he was placed under the banner of King Jesus. Thus the first point, to gather that church. Has that taken place in our life congregation? Has that now taken place? That the king, that he has conquered us, that he has subdued us. We have heard of a soul that he was given to fall to the earth. When the Lord, when the king, when he begins that good work, and we may see the majesty of that king and the glory and the honor. And when we may behold the people of that king, then we are given to make that good choice. And then we cannot bow low enough. Then we have a desire that the king may receive all the honor and the glory and what else? Ah, then we learn what a terrible thing it is not to be a subject of that king. And then it becomes our desire. Then we become exercised with ourselves, our lost condition. Ah, then we make that good choice, but then we stand outside. But do you know what becomes our desire then? That all people, family circle, congregation, not one excluded, that they may become a subject of that royal king, and that they may be given to bow. As Pharaoh said unto that people in Egypt, that he had to bow the knee. Then they have a desire that all people would be converted, because they learn that to be under that king, that is such a good service. Oh, it is true, there are trials and difficulties, and the servants of that king, they learn that they sin in so many ways. Nevertheless, thus first to gather his church, and then to govern that church by word and by spirit, and then that people there receive respect and love for this holy word. Then they are given to us, the Lord, that they may be taught continually, and that the Lord may keep them from evil ways, and that the Lord may take them by heart and hand, and that the Lord may lead them in that way everlasting. But he also defends them, because the subjects of this king, they have that triple-headed enemy. The first one is that traitor within. What a trouble that traitor gives. That flesh. That old man is never converted. The triple-headed enemy. Do you know what that triple-headed enemy is, children? Triple, that means three. There's three enemies. And in the Heidelberg Catechism later, it says that they are mortal enemies. That those enemies are aiming at our destruction. That is our flesh, the world, and the devil. But oh, the king, oh, it is true. How often it goes through impossible ways that they are afraid. Ah, that church in Damascus, how they have prayed. How they have begged. They said, Lord, we have heard that Saul, the persecutor, is coming with those letters from the priest in Jerusalem. And it seemed that Saul would soon be in Damascus, and that the church would be arrested, that the church would come to naught. But oh, then the king has said, so far hitherto and no further. He works in marvelous and wonderful ways, his wonders, mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Then for that church, he defends and preserves us. The king does much more. Then he provides. Think of Elijah at the brook. The ravens have come with flesh and meat. And when the brook is dried up, then he was sent to that widow of Zarephath. Thus he provides. He cares. The blessings to be a subject of that king. But now further preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation. Do you hear it, young people? That the subjects of the king, in the enjoyment, there is such a joy in the service of the Lord. And the more that they may learn, and the more they may receive, and learn what they deserve, they have to write better things against themselves, that they are not faithful subjects. Many times, a frown of man, think of Peter in the hall of Caiaphas. Nevertheless, in the enjoyment of that salvation, there is a joy in the service of the Lord, can be proven, because when that king conquers his people, They never want to go back. Oh, it is true. Sometimes they can think of the flesh pots of Egypt as the children of Israel, but then they are not in the right place. But when the king, as prophet, when he speaks, and when they may be given, led further into that priestly office of Christ, in the enjoyment of that salvation, he has purchased for us. Christ means anointed. As the chief prophet, the only high priest, and the eternal king. And how is it now with us and our children? Has he become precious unto us? Has room maybe made in our heart for that threefold office? Oh, Peter has written to the church, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Ah, for that people that may learn something of these matters only in beginning. And the more they may learn and the more they may taste, the more enjoyment, the more rejoicing, then the high praises may be upon their lips. Ah, then it is their desire, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name, be all the honor, glory given, O Paul, toward the end of his life, when he has written to a spiritual son, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. It was not all the way at the end of his life. That was when 2 Timothy was written. But nevertheless, then he has written concerning that king, now unto the king eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of necessary and precious things, and who was able to declare the riches thereof. Lord, grant that it may be experienced, that the King in this evening hour may have gathered, Lord, even one. That would be a great wonder, but may it be more, because thou art such a great King. And Lord, where thou hast begun, may thy people sit more at thy feet as a student, to be led deeper into that priestly office, even in beginning, and to be experienced each time by renewal that thou art their King. Lord, we may commence another week. What this week holds in, is hidden from us. Thou shalt fulfill all thy counsel. Then we may humbly ask of thee that thou may watch over us, that thou may care, provide. Wilt thou keep us from an unexpected and above all, from an unprepared death? Lord, wilt thou remember in the home, remember the mothers with the children, the daytime, the night watches. Remember the mothers with the unborn. Remember all at work. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies. Remember the needs in the realm of nature. Remember man and beast in the summer weather. Wilt thou now bring us safely to our home. Thou wast crowned this day with thy goodness. May we also experience thy kind care and protection during the night watches. We may thank thee for another Lord's Day, for a few words to speak. Well, to add thy blessing, forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 200, the stanzas 2 and 4. O when the needy seek him, he will mercy show. Yea, the weak and helpless, shall us pity know. He will surely save them from oppression's might. And what follows, Psalter 200, the stanzas 2 and 4. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.